I think the first thing I did when Akashavanda asked me would I do this was laugh. I still feel that way. To talk about my relationship to enlightenment or what is enlightenment, I honestly have no idea. And that's, I mean, that I think really is the heart of the matter. However, as I'm not enlightened, I drape all kinds of stuff around enlightenment. So I put some words together. I'm not brave enough to just say, I have no idea, and leave you with that. because I'm still caught up in conceptual mind. I feel it's necessary to make a caution that anything I say, anything any of us says, anything even in the old texts, is only pointing, aiming us in the right direction. At first, I was aware of enlightenment or nibbana or nirvana as an abstraction. It seemed extremely, it just so distant, no personal relationship with it whatsoever. It was conceptually very alluring, but that's limited. Now I would say that enlightenment does seem more tangible to me, less an idea than a mode of perception, accompanied by a very positive felt sense, felt experience. That gives me my sense of direction now. Although I'm sure that whatever I think, whatever I might have experienced, whatever I imagine enlightenment to be, will be proven either completely wrong or to have been extremely limited. That's been my experience of practice so far, that whatever I thought I was clear about, 5, 8, 10 years later, turns out to have been quite limited. Great, as far as it went. So that's okay, really. I'm getting used to this kind of change, and no fixed view. And it's okay to know or have an idea that we have now, and then move on from it as we keep going. I think one of the ways we can talk about enlightenment is as a letting go. And I've thought about different kinds of things, categories that seemed, or aspects of my life or myself that were very important, in which the process of letting go was very important at different times. Letting go of past hurts, letting go of emotional habits, letting go of views, particularly the one where I need to be right, letting go of physical tension. That's been something I've put a lot of time and energy into in my life. Letting go of projections, assumptions, speculation, and opinions. It's quite a delightful practice, that one. And letting go of the desperate clinging to self, the assertion of self as if my very life depended on who I think I am. So, it's quite a long process to let go of self completely. But maybe we can let go of that desperate clinging to a sense of self. Just kind of back that up to a more relaxed, habitual sense of self. That's in the right direction. See what I mean? We can know we're kind of in the right direction. So, a non-desperate clinging to self. We can kind of work with that one. So the the views and the opinions and the things that I still concern myself with, on a good day, I have the presence of mind to say, to realize the only choice that matters is whether what's in front of me or in my mind or my action, whether it has the flavor of letting go, the flavor of awakening in it. That's in the right direction. So I can relate to awakening as a process. In the tradition, I'm sure many of you have run across this, enlightenment is couched in negative terms. The via negativa is referred to quite often. The extinction, the extinguishing of a light. This is in the Pali Canon. And at my own level of practice, fairly crude level of practice, I seem to rely on negative expression as well. It helps me to say not this, to get a feel for the direction. So I'm going to name some nots and then some positive counterparts. Not ignore. Not deny. Not forget. Not grasp. Not ruminate. Not hang on to. Not make anything of it. Not be shocked or horrified. So if I'm not doing those things, if I'm not ignoring, what am I doing? I'm facing into. If I'm not denying, I'm attempting to fully take on whatever. If I'm not forgetting, I'm attempting to recollect, to have presence of mind, to be in touch with the outcomes of my actions. I'm learning how to feel what free feels like. I'm learning how to notice more and more when I'm caught. I'm learning a little bit more how to let it go. And I'm getting a sense that enlightenment has something to do, reality, that's the language, isn't it? But there's something kind of ultimately realistic, I think. This is a guesswork, could be wrong. Realistic in the ordinary way that we use that term. And then experientially, once in a while, on a good day, there's radiance, there's dissolving, there's a feeling of bliss, there's a feeling of fullness and emptiness simultaneously. Very, very fleeting. So part of my job, your job, is to set up the conditions in which we can practice at such a depth that the letting go can occur. Letting go of whatever it is you need to be letting go of. And in terms of the realistic, it's about noticing how everything is. Noticing everything is patterns. Patterns playing out. Families, between people, the assumptions we make, the unspoken agreements that are made all the time. And everything goes very, very, very fast. Life happens in a passing comment while we're actually doing something else. So enlightenment has something to do with the sensitivity to those subtleties and everything moving very fast and knowing, being aware of what I'm doing and the passing comment and how all of that is creating everything we're experiencing all at once. Another direction, another something to tune into and try to set up conditions for is contentment. I think it's a very powerful leader. And contentment that has the flavor of awakening has to stand on its own. Even if things, whatever it is, my life, what's outside the door, the kitchen, whatever it is, things are always a bit of a mess. Contentment standing on its own, even so. It's not that one is content because of the mess, and it's not contentment in spite of the mess either. That's a bit of a subtle one. And it's not contentment because of good fortune. It's not contentment because. Rather, it's a contentment that is not, it's not dependent on conditions at all. So, all right, it's good notion. We can kind of grasp that conceptually. But we have to start putting ourselves in conditions where we can feel it once in a while. I don't know exactly how it could be. Acting in the world of conditions, which we will continue to do, but untraumatized by it. I use that word on purpose. It's spoken of that enlightenment or nirvana is overcoming birth and death. Huh? Huh? So I'm relating to that now as something like there's an essential shock in our being of birth and death. It's like the startle reflex of a newborn. There's something just right core to the life experience that's, well, shocking at the very least, and traumatizing. It's dukkha. And I think... So I think something about enlightenment is that kind of I can't go back to my point now. Whatever that is, it's been healed. That's the point I'm trying to get to. I think that's another way of trying to relate to enlightenment. You may be able to tell, yes, I indeed came to the Dharma through the via negativa, through dukkha, through suffering, and a need to overcome it. It's very strong for me. So I think enlightenment is a momentary choice. I think it probably becomes easier and easier to make as mindfulness becomes stronger. I think the choice to act, to have the thought, to be in relation to life and the world with the enlightened perception, I think that choice becomes like breathing. I think it becomes that familiar. So, meantime, if greater contentment lies in quietude, in simplicity, and in renunciation, why not choose those? If greater contentment and happiness comes in serving the Dharma and serving others, why not choose that? One last direction here, another sort of collage about enlightenment. There's a wonderful article, by the way, in the current spring issue of Buddha Dharma by Joan Sutherland, and this is a line from that article. Make yourself unconditionally available. This points to receptivity. And I sometimes like to say, this is not an original thought, but I've completely forgotten where I first heard this. Make yourself accident prone. What that means is make ourselves open to the unexpected. open to a shift that we don't even see coming, because we really don't know. Like what happened upstairs, our reflection with the rice pudding, we don't know. So make ourselves prone to the unlooked for. Make ourselves poised to dance in any direction. That's really